What I'd like you to do is to just close your eyes. I'd like you to listen to the Word of God. I'd like you to say, Lord, let me hear this in a freshness. Let me hear this in such a way that I know that you're speaking to me because your Word is written for me. And I'm here today because I'm here to hear from you. All right? So if you would, just close your eyes, and I want to read to you the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'll say it again. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because the servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Amen. You can open your eyes. This language that about fruits, this isn't something that, you know, some clever pastor made up. These are words, and it's a language that Jesus used, this idea of bearing fruit. And from Jesus' words, we understand that this is something that brings a lot of honor to God. And with it, we also know that these words aren't, this language isn't a new kind of language for the people that Jesus was speaking to. It might be a little new to us, but these words we can find in the Old Testament too. This idea of things that are growing, things that are connected. And Jesus said, you know, if you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in Psalm 1, we learn about a person who delights in God and his word, a person who is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season. Jeremiah said the same thing. A person who trusts in the Lord will be like a tree planted in the water, never worrying about a year of drought, never failing to bear fruit. Ezekiel describes an image similar to all this. And then later, in John's glimpse into heaven, we're shown a tree of life in the city of God. And below that tree of life is what? The river of life. Always in these pictures, there's a picture of a tree and then a picture of a river, a spiritual river. And Jesus spoke of this spiritual river. He said, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So a life connected to Jesus is a life that is like a branch connected to a living vine or a plant or a tree. And the result of a connected life is that it will inevitably produce fruit. You know, what is this fruit? Well, it's a culmination of growth. It's what naturally happens when you're growing. And in this growth, this new growth, is the capability for new growth, the seeds, life. Fruit is the tangible, it's the touchable, it's the visible results of choices and thoughts and attitudes that we've cultivated. It is something tangible that came from something intangible. It's mainly that fruit of the Spirit described in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Bible uses a singular noun, saying fruit, to describe multiple qualities. And why is that? Why is it the fruits of the Spirit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Why is that? Well, it's because it comes from one. It comes from the Spirit of God, the spring of living water. That's where it comes from. The life of Christ in us may be at first unseen. Nobody can maybe see into the reaches of our heart, but as the life of our Lord permeates our mind and our hearts and our whole being, we allow and even cultivate the growth and His rule over us. Visible things begin to appear, changes in our thoughts and attitude. We choose and we speak and we act differently than we did when we didn't have the life of Christ in us. It's His qualities, it's His character coming out in us when we're thriving in that vital connection that Jesus reminds us, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what's going on if a person is connected to Jesus Christ like a branch to a vine but is producing no fruit? What's going on if you're near in the flow of the living water of the Spirit within you, and like a tree planted next to a stream, but there's no fruit in your life? What is happening? Well, there's some of you that work at mission or work in nursing, and you may have heard of this, but sometimes nurses or doctors, on medical charts for infants, they'll put something down, some initials down, when an infant unexplainably will not gain weight or grow. And the initials are FTT. The infants seem to have everything they need to grow, but they don't. FTT, failure to thrive. And I guess it's really maybe a pre-diagnosis. It's when doctors and nurses scratch their heads and go, what's going on? We're not sure. So FTT. And hopefully there's some doctors and nurses that get on it and try to figure out what's going on. But sometimes maybe you're in that place. Maybe you've been in that place. Maybe you've diagnosed yourself that way. And I want to challenge it today. I want to challenge that. If you think you have a spiritual FTT, I want to say, don't just write it off and go, well, you know, I've done everything. I've tried it all. And I just don't connect. I'm just not growing. I've tried Jesus. Don't do that. There is a cause. There is something going on. There is something that is blocking spiritual growth. And if there's something blocking spiritual growth and the Lord wants you to spiritually grow, the Lord wants you to bear fruit, then whatever is blocking that needs to be removed, and it can be removed. Something can be changed, and whatever hinders and needs to be removed or changed can be done. And I want to give you just a few thoughts for a self-examination of your soul in this. And here are some exams for inhibitors. Inhibitors that maybe block the flow of that living water that eventually produces fruit. And maybe some other things to look at. First things first, though. Exam number one, are you connected? I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, when I go flip on a light at the house, there's a certain light that sits in the corner of our house, and there's a little, it doesn't sit in the outlet really well. It kind of falls out, and sometimes I'll flip the switch, and the light won't come on. And so the first thing I go check is it plugged into the outlet or not? Is it connected? Is the power really flowing through it? You know, if you're really trying to flourish and be who God made you to be on your own power, it's like trying to water ski behind a rowboat. You just aren't going to get up on top of the water. It's not going to happen. There is not enough power on your own. The springs of living water need to be flowing from within. The fruit and life that comes from that is a life provided by God, not provided by our own, not by us, by Him. I know some of you, you know, when I talk about, you know, you need to make sure you're connected. You need to go do a power source swap. You need to plug your trust into Christ. And I know saying something like that, there's some of you go, well, I'm not sure if Christ is trustworthy. And if that's your question, if you're kind of going, I like whatever I'm plugged into now, whether it's myself or some other thing that is really powerless to produce fruit in your life, but it's comfortable to you, and you're going, I'm looking at Christ, and I know I should connect with Him, and I should plug into Him, but I'm scared. And if that's the case, then you need to get to know Jesus better. You need to know Him and His character, because everything I know of Him says that He cares for us, that He loves us, that He is trustworthy. So investigate who He is. Exam number two, have you got out of the flow of the river? You know, when the river flows, life around it flourishes. When the river dries up, life around it dies. Have you temporarily blocked the flow? You know, the truth is that we're not immobile. We're not inanimate like a tree. And we can make choices that, you know, pull our roots away from where the water is. We can make choices that, what the Bible describes, says, grieves the Spirit of God, makes Him mourn over our choices. You know, you can get out of step with the Spirit or get out of flow with the Spirit, but you can get back into step and you can keep in the flow of the river of life. You know, I can make a choice or say something that really hurts a friend. And it not only grieves my friend, but it grieves God's Spirit because I've done something that He would not desire or yearn for or want. It's when I've stepped out of the flow. But when I recognize what I've done and I seek my friend's forgiveness, I step back into that flow. Now the question is, what's the lag time? What's the lag time between the time that I stepped out of the flow of the river and when I finally decide, oh, this isn't good, I'm stepping back in, and I'm going to do what the Spirit yearns and what the Spirit wants, what God wants. What's the lag time? You know, that's where this examination is pretty important, because some of us have really got a long lag time. Weeks, months. For some of you, you've been holding a grudge for years with somebody, and you haven't forgiven. And that kind of stepping out of the flow of the Spirit is damaging. And it can cause blockage where fruit won't grow. The shorter that you make that lag time, the more you have the opportunity to flourish and to grow. Exam number three, if you're connected and bearing fruit, you're not bearing fruit. If you're connected and you're not bearing fruit, maybe you haven't been doing any cultivating in your life. All right, most of us here aren't farmers, so what am I saying when I say cultivating? In Jesus' parable of the seed and the soils, there were these things that kept seeds and plants from growing and producing a crop. There were weeds that choked out the plants. What do you do when there are weeds that choke out the plants? You pull the weeds. That would be called cultivating. Now, Jesus said that the weeds in his parable, his earthly story with a heavenly meaning, He said that the weeds that choked out the plants were the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Weeds have to be removed if those are things that are causing hindrances to your growth. You need to get rid of them. Jesus mentioned rocks in the soil that kept the plants from growing roots. We aren't told by Jesus what exactly those rocks are, but I imagine some things that would keep faith from taking root are really unanswered questions, big, important faith questions that go unremained, that hinder belief. Rocks have to be removed. Some of you are still dealing with one of the biggest faith questions And you keep shoving it off and you won't answer it. And the question is God good? And is he good to you? And you've got to answer that. And you got to answer it understanding that we have a good God who's like a father. And sometimes he disciplines us. Sometimes he prunes us. Discipline isn't always pleasant, is it, at the time? I imagine pruning the same thing, cutting off a branch so it'll be more fruitful, isn't pleasant at the time. But is God good? You got to answer that question. And you got to start removing other questions, unanswered questions like that, because they're blocking you from sending your roots deep down. And it's why when you get into situations, you fade, you retreat, your faith withers. Answer the tough questions. And I want to tell you, you're in a group of people that is willing to go there. We're not going to shy away from those questions. Again, take one of our jail leaders and say, hey, let's go get coffee. Let's talk with me or any of our staff. We'd be glad to talk about this. And again, we're not going to be offended or hurt or shocked or anything like that. We know how to banter and go back and forth. And we're not argumentative or anything like that. Look, we're pulling for you. That's what we're doing. We're pulling for you. We're praying for you. All right? Exam number four. No fruit in a connected life? Well, maybe you're trying to grow like everyone else is. Maybe you're trying to grow like everyone else is. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, think about it. The amount of water that makes an orchid grow would drown a cactus. The amount of food that would feed a mouse would starve an elephant. I mean, all living things need water, light, food, and air, but they need them in different amounts, don't they? Well, the same with Christ followers. There are certain things that we need in our life to keep us spiritually healthy. Maybe it's the Word of God, or prayer, or connection with other believers, and worship with others, but not all in the same way. You know, if you have kids, you'll understand this next statement. If I say about all four of my kids, no matter how many kids I have, I'm going to treat them all exactly the same. They're all going to be motivated by the same rewards. So I'm going to keep that all the same. They're going to be impacted by punishment in the same way. So just, you know, do it all the same, all of them. And they're all going to be attracted by the same activities. Some of you parents are already smiling. You're going, no way. That does not work. Because you know, even though they're your kids, each one of them is different. Each one of them is different. God knows what each of us needs. I mean, look at some of the characters that he's worked with. I mean, he had Abraham take a walk. He had Elijah take a nap. Joshua take a lap. Adam take the rap. Elijah Moses had to take a 40-year timeout. David had a harp and dance. Paul, a pen and a scroll. He wrestled with Jacob. He argued with Job. He warned Cain. He comforted Hagar. Jesus was stern with the rich young ruler, but he was patient with his disciples. He was blistering with the scribes. He was gentle with children and gracious to a thief on a cross. God never grows two people the same. God is a handcrafter, not a mass producer. We are his workmanship or his craftsmanship. Exam number five, connected, but maybe you're bearing no fruit. Well, maybe think about what season of life you're in. And with this, maybe not so much your age, am I 80 or am I 15? But maybe how long have you been walking with the Lord? I'm talking about that kind of young in faith or older in faith. You know, when you think about that, think about a plant that may be a sapling. What do sometimes young plants need to be able to grow? They got to have support. They got to have a structure, like a stake in the ground that they're tied to, or a trellis so that they could climb up it. And at the same time, if a young plant grows and stays connected to that stake or to that trellis, in the future as it gets older, it might inhibit its growth. The time for the stake or the support, that structure needs to be removed so it can grow unhindered. So think about the season in your life. Maybe you need some support? Are you young in your faith trying to live without support? You know, another thought about the season of your life is, and you're in, is maybe something like this. Are you in a season of grief? Grief does crazy things to us. It is like a desert, a spiritual desert. And normally those things that fed you and watered you and you fed on are just like dust in your mouth when you're in a season of grief. But I want you to know that with grieving, the grieving passes. It takes time. But when the grieving passes, those things that once brought vitality to your life will return. They will. I promise you. Final exam, sin. I mean, we all wrestle with a unique set of temptations, though they're not unique to Jesus. Like, it's like a fingerprint. You know, we have our own original or signature sins. There was this British comedian named Eddie Izzard who grew up going to church, and he heard people every now and then talk about original sin. And but he wasn't sure what that meant. He just thought that the priests were getting bored of the typical confessions. And so Eddie thought he would think up a really original sin. And so that would really entertain these priests. And so the sin that he came up with, he said, "I poke badgers with spoons." Yeah. All right. So he tried. Well, and I tried to, but anyway, you know, sometimes, and in this moment, I'm not really talking about the belief or doctrine of original sin, which is about the passing on, the mark of sin that each human receives coming into this world. That's kind of a genetic, spiritual geneticism that's been passed on by our ancestor Adam. I'm not talking about that right now. What I am talking about is this signature sins. There are temptations that are especially troubling to individuals, to each of us. There are specific sins that are more appealing to each of us. And we, like, and even though maybe you and I have one of the same sins, maybe we both lash out in anger, but for each of us, there's a different trigger that sets us off. So it's unique. It's a signature sin. You know, our world talks about the carbon footprint we leave behind that's damaging the environment. Well, we also leave a sin footprint that damages the spiritual environment around us. And it blocks the flow of what the Spirit wants in our life. Sin is a blocker of the flow of the Spirit and the growth of fruit in your life. You need to identify what is that primary flow blocker. What is that for you? You need the sins that are particular to your signature, you need to take measures to guard against those things. You need to find the verses and scriptures and address those particular sins and those temptations. You need to write them on cards or put them on a screen somewhere where you're going to see them every day, and they're going to start entering into your head. You're going to, yes, actually memorize them so the Lord can bring them to mind when you need them. You need to get your set list of songs on your iPod that are your fight songs that strengthen your faith, and you play those when you're weak. And you play them so that you'll be emboldened. You need to get your prayers from Scripture, the prayers that you're going to use to call on God when you start feeling the temptations tug at you. Look, the goal of growth is freedom. You know, a great pianist playing notes up and down the keyboard doesn't worry about which note. He just plays them. And becoming that great pianist and the freedom that's with that, that's not the same as indulgence. You're not free to become a great pianist by laying around watching TV and eating potato chips all day, every day of your life. That won't make you a great pianist. That's not exactly the freedom that I'm talking about here. You know, when you do the final exam for the ultimate inhibitor of growth, which is sin, you need to invite the Spirit of God to examine your soul. Don't look at God as your enemy when you do this, when you ask him to examine you. You know, if you have a smoke detector in your home and it does its job and goes off and lets you know there's smoke, and that means there's a fire, there's danger, get out, do something. You don't look at the smoke detector as your enemy, do you? The smoke detector is not the enemy. The fire is the enemy. The smoke is the enemy. Same thing when you invite the Spirit of God to examine your heart. He's not the enemy. The Spirit of God has the ministry of conviction in your life. And I know some of us view conviction as a bad thing, but conviction can be a good thing, and it is a good thing. Look, conviction is not the external pain. It's not the embarrassment of being caught. It's the internal pain over who I am. Conviction is when you say, how could I become a man or woman who would do such a thing? That's what conviction says to you. And there's an urgency in you that says, God, help me. Now, with these exams for inhibitors of the Spirit, inhibitors that block the growth of fruit, you're probably going to find some things. The Spirit will point them out. And there's only a couple of responses that you can make when the Spirit points out these inhibitors. First response is that maybe you need to do some cultivating. Remove the rocks. Pull out the weeds. Sometimes it means effort and training on your part. But there are limits to trying harder, isn't there? You know, it's good to try hard in some areas. You know, I try hard to finish that lap or try hard to push through my last phone calls of the day. But you know, when somebody says, try hard to relax, or try hard to sleep, try hard not to worry, try hard to be joyful. There's sometimes where just trying hard isn't the thing to do. Instead, maybe you need to try softer. Maybe you need to try better. Maybe you need to try different. Look, you don't need to push the river or pull the river. You just need to step back into it. And you got to remove what's blocking it. Sometimes that may be simply cultivating thankfulness. It may be cultivating rest in your life. It may be cultivating solitude. Some of you are scared to be alone. But maybe it's exactly what you need to do to get with God. Some of you need to cultivate silence. You're always talking and never listening, and therefore you never hear God's voice. Some of you maybe just need to cultivate worship with others. You've never known the benefits. You worship on your own, but you've never known the benefits and the joy of doing that with other believers. You know, the second response is surrender. You know, there's no one way for a human to come to God that does not involve surrender. I know that there are some messages in the Bible that we love to hear. You know, messages like, you know what, no matter how much you mess up, God loves you. Amen. Amen. That's a good one. Messages like, you know what, you are so busy and so exhausted, God wants you to be rested and refreshed. Yeah. But then there are other messages in the Bible like, you need to surrender. You are sinful. You're stubborn. You're stiff-necked. You're self-centered and you're self-promoting. Your own desires are often self-serving. Your ability to perceive your own sin is blinded by self-deception. You need to bend the knee. You need to submit your heart. You need to confess your sin. You need to surrender. You know, there's a lot of things we do with our will. A lot of times, things that we do with our will that wear us out. You know, the one thing that you do with your will that doesn't deplete your energy, but instead replenishes your energy? Surrender. And yet it's one of the things that we refuse to do so much. Well, yes, cultivating, training, surrender, those are the kind of responses that unblock the inhibitors, that causes the streams of living water to flow from within, making you flourish, making you bear good fruit. You'll be a branch that's abiding and remaining in Christ. The guys are going to come up, and we're going to continue our worship. In the next few moments, I want to have a time where you guys can respond to the Word of God in our worship time, and a time to say, Lord, examine me. Examine my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lord, show me where those inhibitors are so that fruit can be produced in my life. I want to bring glory to you. And there may be some of you are like, I feel like I've prayed those kind of prayers before, and I just feel like I need to pray with someone. And so if that's the case, then we're going to have Doris is over here. I got some of our gel leaders that can be down here in the front ready to pray. So right now, I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to continue to worship. And it's a moment also for us to respond to the Word of God. All right? Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, we want to offer worship to you. Praise for the good that you're doing in our lives. Praise for the fruit that is being produced. And Lord, at the same time, we want to say, examine us, God. Lord, because we want to bear much fruit. We just want to bear a little bit. Lord, we want to bring not just a little bit of glory to you, but a lot of glory. And Lord, we really want to be your called out ones that are bearing that kind of fruit that the world says, what is that? I want to taste and see. And taste and see that you are good. So God, let that be true of us. Let there be that kind of fruit that the world wants to taste, and it draws them to you. I pray this in Jesus' name.